strong in the bowl, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last one.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And I do think that the preseason is one long, sometimes torturous exercise in working out exactly how much you miss football. And I think perhaps the peak of desperation is travelling to Melbourne just to watch training, and I don't think we've been quite at that level. There's, you know, watching highlights of training, which God knows I've done probably dozens of times. Watching a pre-season intra-club game on the website.
I've done quite recently.
Yeah, how desperate did you feel in the moment?
Well, actually, it wasn't too bad because justifying my behaviour is that because Richo and Barmy were commentating, Barmy's refreshingly honest when he talks about the team. Almost to the point of being informative, which clearly hasn't read football club members' media commentary guidelines.
Clearly not. I have to say he's perhaps rocketed to the top of my list of current off-field staff who I'd most enjoy having a beer with.
He wasn't there already? Who would be in front of him?
Oh, look, you know that I've always had a unfulfilled ambition to interview the stats guy.
Yes, that is true. And there's, of course, you know, because you love American sport, you could probably get by on a conversation with most of the coaching staff, but
That's true. Well, and look, we did an interview a while back with one of the recruiting staff. That was fun.
Yeah. So, anyway, the JLT game.
But we'll get there eventually. But was there anything other than the hit of methadone that you get from watching an intra-club game? Was there anything that stood out to you?
Oh, just that if you listen to what Barmy said when he was asked about Lynch being available round one, he wasn't sure. You know, said it could be. We're not, you know, we're working on it. And then he was asked about Caddy. He said he absolutely won't be ready. He just said his language was far more definitive. You could see how good RCD was, but you could also see why he might not play round one. You could see with the Rucks that, as I said to you on text, if the Richmond Ruck division were in prison, they'd take turns cleaning Nank's cell. but it was interesting that how they're battling away. But you know, I don't think there was anything too definitive going out there. You know, there was Marbia Chol did an amazing highlight, but disappeared in and out. You know, everyone picked that up on the internet comments.
Played to form.
Jack Ross was got a decent. Isn't running the midfield, which you got in the JLT. I think there weren't any huge surprises.
A big thing for me is having obsessed about the draftees for, you know, all of November and December. It is a really big test, I think, of how they stand up athletically, how their skills stand up, and frankly, Riley Collie-Dawkins will talk about some more. You would expect your first round draft pick to be a pretty impressive athlete. I was surprisingly obsessed by Fraser Turner, which is a fairly deep cut, but he was the youngest person drafted last year. Apparently he's put on 7 kilos since he got to the club, which is kind of extraordinary in 2.5 months. if that. And he looked like just one of the other players cracking in and was making space out on the wings. I was quite impressed.
Oh yeah, nice. Bolter did stand out to me, but we'll talk about him so much about him in the JLT.
Yes,
I don't think we need to delve in. Again, also appropriate in the JLT, also maybe not as noticeable, was that Dusty Cochin and Prestia all looked very fit.
Mm.
They didn't dominate the game, but
yep, pretty tip-top physical condition.
Yes, exactly.
Alex Rance, you know, exactly zero worries about his form going into the year.
Yeah, maybe. I must admit, there was a moment in the JLT game where he punched when the ball was dropped right on his head, which it was a bad. He didn't really. He lacked a bit of confidence, and that led to a goal. But then, as soon as he went back to his wheelhouse, which is sort of one out. Balls coming in on the lead and against Melbourne, especially in the last quarter, he was unbeatable.
Yeah, against a good, genuinely good opponent in Tom McDonald.
Yeah, so he definitely, you know, he hasn't. He looks great in the ways that Alex Rance does and makes him a
except now with the beard.
Yes, makes a borderline candidate for the being a goat. The teams will still try to drop the ball on his head.
Mm. Yep. I think Nathan Broad's had a good preseason. Perhaps it's overreacting to the JLT game, but he had four more disposals against Melbourne than he did in any game in any of his 18 games last year. He was looking pretty confident, and his kicking has steadily looked less ugly over time.
The thing I liked most about his game was, which it always does, but his hands were just beautiful in the JLT. But his ability to get the ball continues to grow, and his kicking was still not beautiful, but as you say, it was not noticeably bad either, which is it keeps getting better. I mean, it keeps evolving as a player.
Yeah.
Nick, we keep going around the JLT without actually sort of, you know, talking about it.
I think I'm trying to sort of talk, get as much information as possible. Like, we've had the intra club, we've had a VFL practice game, and we've had the JLT all together. So there's a little bit of a form line there, but yeah, perhaps I'm just into the delayed gratification because we're now, you know, 7 minutes in and we haven't talked about Noah Bolter.
Yeah, no, we haven't got to our Noah Bolter takes. All right, Nick, I've been looking forward to this. So I want to set the table on this.
Mm.
I'm not a Noah Bolter truther.
Yeah.
Self-evidently, he's incredibly talented. My favourite Richmond draft nerd loves Noah Bolter. Always seen the upside. But I've always been a little bit of a cynic about, where's he going to play in the AFL? You know, people have said, oh, he could be a swingman. Well, that's nice, but as are most coaches in the AFL, not all, but most, Dimmer's a structures guy. He's never, in the time he's really coached Richmond, used a tall swingman, and he's hardly ever used a small swingman. Really, you've got to, with very few exceptions, you've got to look at the Richmond team as it is to think and find a position within the existing structure to put a new person in. You know, it's a one in, one out. Dimmer's not going to rewrite the team for the sake of Noah, and the way he's been playing for a long time, for the sake of Noah Bolter, unless he has to. So
that was your starting point.
Yeah, where's he going to play? It's all very well. He'll kick the ball 60 metres. He'll have one great highlight in the VFL that looks like he'll be amazing, but not at actually his key position. And then suddenly, on the weekend, he looked like a very viable second ruck forward, which is just unbelievably exciting to me. So at that point, what stood out to you, Nick?
Well, if you're trying to project, which is a difficult task, but How do you find your way into Damien Hardwick's heart? I think the Noah Bolter as, you know, the second key forward who walls off the opposition kick coming out of 50 metres, I think he would have loved that in ways that he normally only talks about his wife. Like, that was
Daniel Rioli.
And Daniel Rioli. Oh, actually, we'll talk about him later too. Yeah, that and popping up for the goals when I was quite amused that when Dermot literally read out Bolter's AFL prospectus entry. But yeah, he's not a conventional lead mark forward, but he does lots of other things well. Like, and you talk about, you know, does the athleticism hold up at senior AFL level? God, it was eye-popping.
Yeah, well, so a couple of points. Firstly, on his rucking, not brilliant, and first rucks will get over the top of him, but it's not bad. It's willing. He was getting hit outs.
Is he going to play much against first rucks? That's a fair
question.
Well,
that's the thing, and there are plenty of... It seems like, I mean, if you looked at who he's playing against on the weekend, Melbourne seemed to be setting up that they're... might play 195 centimetre second ruck too. By the way, that was the GLT, the tactical intent was very clear straight away. They played Nunk forward. He you know, in the first bit of the game, he didn't go into the ruck at all. They seemed to be playing Nunk in the lynch role. And then they were letting Soldo and Bolter rotate in the ruck, giving them plenty of reps, but also simulating what it's going to be like to play with Lynch there. So I thought it seemed tactically clearly what they're doing. And in that role, you know, Bolter was getting hit outs. I think he finished with five in the end. So he just quickly said, "Yeah, he had seven." You know, that's
okay.
Five or six more than Grigg gets, and that's enough at least to worry the other ruckman and be competitive. And on top of that, he's not that big a drop off when the ball's on the ground, and he's superb when the ball's in the air.
Yeah, yeah, and he, you know, runs away from players a lot smaller than he is. God.
Yeah, and, you know, in his second quarter, I think he had more touches than Ben Griffiths did have in a bad month.
Yeah, there is that. Look, it is the Noah of Bolter experience as a junior, and I have to admit I'm still a bit wounded that you referred to somebody else as your favourite Richmond draft nerd. But yeah, and Bolter was capable of incredible things in the TAC Cup. But consistency was always the thing, and you know, perhaps it's being in a role where consistency isn't as important as making an impact during periods of the game. And oh my God, did he impact? That was incredible.
Yeah, and so aside from his impressive stat line, he actually should have had two more goals. One, which was a stand-up mark that he was denied.
Yeah.
And the second one was where the Dusty stole a shot from goal for him.
Oh, yeah, he did.
They both got the tackle.
That's a veteran hierarchy.
Yeah, I think if Dusty had that again, he probably would have realised the importance of getting Bolter shots and goal reps. Or maybe he wouldn't have. But yeah, either way, he was consistently making an absolute nuisance of himself. And he's a long kick. He works hard defensively. You know, he tackles. It's just, he's phenomenal. And who was it? Now, you know, he's a line coach at our club, so you know, he might have been a slight bit of hyperbole, but Lepper's saying he's the most impressive athlete he's ever seen.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. He played with Jonathan Brown. He was a pretty good athlete.
Yeah, it's just it's suddenly it's become this phenomenally exciting Bolter. Sorry, that was actually an accidental pun. I want someone to come up with a nickname of him that's more biblical, that takes advantage of the Noah rather than the Bolter.
I know, there's so much potential material there. I did like somebody saying he should have got number 40. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, it took me a while. Either way, just... Like, no more than just a couple of three nice highlights, just phenomenally exciting for me was I can now see how he can play round one.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I was intrigued by how they used him as a shock trooper in the VFL, like Craig McRae, when they really needed a jolt to try and change the course of the game, would throw him on the ball last year, which says something. But yeah, no, really encouraging. I hope he can back it up in the next JLT game, because, you know, right now you'd have to say that if Lynch can't play, he has to.
Yeah, well, you know, are they actually mutually exclusive? Are they playing the same position? Because I don't think Lynch will rock at all with his bad PCL. So,
good point.
And, you know, speaking of, have you seen it been done before? Dimmitt did play Jack, Ty, and Ben in the same forward line for many games. Yep. It's not unheard of.
Yeah, true. Jack Rotts, like, he, you know, clearly came in with a pretty mature body, but he's looking pretty good for a second-round draft pick. Like, there was pre-season hype on him already, but, yeah, that was a composed performance, and they played him against Oliver and Brayshaw a lot for a kid in his first game of senior football.
Yeah, they really threw him to the wolves in some respects. They gave him serious midfield moments against A graders. Also, when we were playing backup rucks, so it wasn't always. He did get torched a few times in the centre square.
Yeah, ball watching is a thing of his. Like, he didn't tackle as much as you would expect from someone who's got the shoulders of a 28-year-old. But yeah, it was pretty impressive.
It was. I don't think he'll play round one for that reason, but that doesn't mean he hasn't been. He wasn't very impressive, and isn't well on track for a senior debut. You know, when the games are still in the single figures at the start of the year.
Yep. And the who does the Anthony Miles role as backup midfielder? I feel better about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's partly what Ellis has been set up to do as well. But Ellis has not. His strengths are still his strengths, but his weaknesses are still his weaknesses.
Yeah, it was a pretty, if not underwhelming, it was certainly a whelming game.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely. He just doesn't. He's not clean enough in contested possessions to be a consistent midfielder, but. You know, doesn't mean he doesn't bring a lot of strengths to the table. He kicked a nice goal, but he hasn't. He hasn't evolved as you'd expect for someone his age. He hasn't fundamentally changed, and there's obviously the rumours about he's announced he's not renegotiating his contract, which probably the decision was mutual. I can't imagine anyone's too much of a rush on that one.
It's a thin free agent class too.
Yeah. That might be a win-win signing later on. Anyway, but that's some other positives. Sort of an ambiguous one. What did you think of Big Evie's game?
I thought it was fine. I probably liked him in the intra-club game better, but it was fine. Bruce is an enormous human being. Third biggest ruckman in the AFL. And he cracked in. He's not very useful forward, which we sort of already knew, but yeah, he was fine.
Yeah, so I went through two things, because I was following the game, just reading people's comments online, then I watched it on replay, and a lot of people were down on him because he gave away that one free kick where he clobbered Melbourne player in the forward line. And he did another very agricultural act later in the game. But, yeah, as you say, I thought he was fine. I really think he can only play as first strike because, as you point, when he's not playing first strike, he doesn't do enough other things. But he really cracks in defensively. Did you see that when he ran down the Melbourne player for holding the ball? Like, he's a good He's a good linear athlete. He's fast and, like, he's awkward, but he does put the hit on. And that's sort of a Richmond Ruck thing. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but Nank absolutely destroyed two-day Melbourne players during the game. You know, just because it's JLT means that Nank's, you know, Nank's not going to put the smackdown on. I actually, like, I'm comfortable with him as a backup for Nank. I think he's willing, he cracks it, and he won't get dominated in the... Wouldn't even get dominated by even Nick Nat, I think. And another thing, they've all been coached... Richmond Rucks have all been coached to grab the ball out of the air with the new rules, because most of them did it at one stage.
Yep, they all did it. Yeah, there's quite a lot of... it'll be interesting to see how it plays. I was surprised at how little they weren't sitting on Ruckman doing that, and I think that's the next step of how this evolves, is that if people, Ruckman are going to be doing that, midfielders are going to be sitting on them to grab them as soon as they get the ball.
Yep, and then that creates other opportunities, so the game will go on.
Indeed. Sort of others. Look, I thought Mavuela. He was almost exactly what I expected and what you would expect from a guy who's been a solid player on a pretty mediocre team for a while. Like, he can play a role at AFL level, and he's not best 22. Maybe if, you know, given Castagna and Caddy are in doubt for round one, maybe he's a chance, but he's a depth piece and he's solid.
Yeah. He's not great overhead.
No.
They showed a really nice graphic. I did it for hardly any player, but the one about that showed his strength and weaknesses, defensive efforts, gets plenty of the ball, but it was well below average in goal kicking for a general forward and goal assists. So yeah, it sort of summed him up nicely. I mean, I wish all the best for him, but you know, I can't help sort of, my instinctive reaction is I'd rather have someone else in that role. You know, there's just other guys on the team I like more. It's because they've got upside, but maybe, you know, this is... And just a general comment, we do play beautiful football. Like, this is aside from the fact that we're winning, like, when we run out in waves, it's fantastic to watch from the back line.
It was amusing that the commentators gave away that they weren't actually in Shepparton for the game. they contrasted how Melbourne transitioned the ball with what we did, and that's partly what they were allowed to do as we got our game doing. But yeah, it's still really exciting. It's a lot of fun.
It is. It was, and you know, just sort of to backtrack, talk about the game. Even though the game was close, I did think we basically won easily.
We're in pre-season, mid-season form in wasting good opportunities at all.
Yeah, and being shafted by the umpires. that people talk about the team matchups, who was in, who was out. Like, it's almost, okay, maybe this is convenient to say because we won, but it's almost impossible to judge because it also depends, you know, who's playing in the midfield. You know, as soon as, when we started playing Dusty in the midfield, which we only did for short periods, we were unbeatable. You know, who gets game time? Because the reps are low, you know. So it's hard to be definitive about who had the best team. But you know, overall, I was very, very happy with how we looked.
Well, we've talked before about how what can you take away from preseason football, and sometimes the answer is not much. But look, it does give you a bit of a glimpse into the style of play, like. The start of 2017 in pre-season, the pressure was high, and the DNA of the team is still there.
Yeah, and we've lost something, like, you can tell because of the kickouts, it's harder now to get to lock the ball inside the defensive sort of 70 like we used to. But there are pros and cons. Like, we've lost something there. But we've gained...
Jaden Short being a complete weapon.
Yeah, we've gained something on the... It's, you know, our early 2017 game plan of the, you know, the really super fast slingshot footy and running in waves. That's obviously been helped by the new rules. And Jaden Shorts, as you point out, is very good in that role. I mean, we just had that backline transition, and we haven't even mentioned probably who was BAG, which is Special Hooley, looking sharp as a razor.
Looking very trim, yeah. After a, you know, disappointing season with some injury issues, he looked really fit.
Yep, and was part of this running in waves, and this our backline looked super confident whenever it had the ball.
Yeah, and super confident in him, like they were feeding. He got a lot of handball receives.
Yeah, that's true. True.
What did you think of preseason hero Comrade Markov?
I guess I don't know. Didn't like the commentator's call. He looked like a World War One officer, which, because it is a good call, but it's just because we've already assigned him to the Bolshevik Revolution. That moment where he got pushed off the ball and gave up a goal.
Yeah, that wasn't so good.
It was too easy. But other than that, you know, he's running carries. Beautiful.
Yeah, when he saw... and the handball he coughed up in the goal square on the goal line wasn't much fun. Good either. But yeah, the run and carry was there.
Yeah, I feel a bit like... I've often said this about Menadue as well, that when the game opens up, his running is great, but... That's why I'm constraining my enthusiasm, because on the whole the coaches have decided that those three lovely runs at the end of the game aren't worth the lack of physical presence earlier. So I'm not saying Markov may be a better version of Menadue, but you know.
Yeah, I thought he was decent without being great.
I agree.
The one person I was worried about was Jack Graham.
No, oh, I thought you were going to say Jack Higgins. I was going to violently disagree. I agree, but why do you think that way?
Oh, just the look. He's good defensively, as he always has been, but just that you know, he was Jack Ross as a ball winner as a junior, and the ball winning for Jack Ross seems to have translated to senior football in a way that it just isn't at the moment. He didn't have a ton of game time, I don't think, but and he looked he looked fit, and he's coming back from an injury. Yeah, I was a little worried.
Yeah, now they played slightly different roles, but you know, he had slightly more game time than Jack Ross, and he had 9 disposals, and Jack Ross had 21 with 11 contested. You know, you mentioned tackle. Graham's obviously better than that. But yeah, he didn't. Okay, he's missed a lot of preseason because of his shoulder. But yeah, he didn't look. He didn't look round one-y, did he?
No, I mean, he looked trim and fit, which was nice. But yeah, in a day with very few negatives. I mean, you mentioned Jack Higgins. I thought he looked pretty tip top.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked great. Yeah, got a reasonable amount of game time, but just he's one aside from his goal kicking, which looks like it hasn't changed. Shorty, you know, Short hasn't lost his goal kicking ability, and
God bless.
Sadly, neither has Higo, but he's got magic, you know that. He might not be any good on a set shot, but he just, when people consistently kick, you know, slightly, you know, goal of the day or
God, where did that come from? Yeah,
yeah. He just does it. He does it too often to be a coincidence. And yeah, he's aside from his ability to find space in the forward line, and you know, he's a very industrious player. He does have a spark of magic.
As does Dan Rioli, who looked. Tippity top fit.
Yeah, absolutely. He, you know, that goal he kicked off. I think it was Baker. Kicked him, fell slightly short. It was almost ludicrous how much quicker he was than everyone else to the loose ball. It was like no one else was playing.
Yeah. If you were very quiet, you could hear Bruce McAvaney losing his mind over in Adelaide.
Yeah, he is. It was like, do you remember when he was drafted? He was a marginal first round prospect. Like,
we
were probably down the club. He was going to take him in the first round. I was just looking him at the JLT, thinking, you know, he in hindsight, okay, he doesn't get that much of the ball, but he's a top five prospect. Yeah. He's just such an amazing footballer.
And I think in terms of, sadly, this isn't a stat, but the amount of panic that it causes opposition players and supporters when he goes near the ball, yeah, pretty high.
Oh, yeah, just amazing. So just one other slide. I was a bit worried by Butz's game. You know, he hadn't played in a while.
Yeah, but it was okay.
He did some good Butler things, but he did sort of, there was a few times where his defensive work was a little bit
off. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Off. Mm. The commentators picked it up once, but there were a couple of other times when I just wondered what was he doing there.
Mm.
But what did you think of Baker's game?
Oh, the goal was very tidy. He had some nice work. I've always been a little bit of I've always been a bit of a skeptic just because he really does looks. He really is small and he's not that explosive. But yeah, it's a body of. He's got a good body of work. His stat line in the VFL last year was great. Yeah, he had the odd moment playing seniors. Yeah, I thought it was fine.
I love him. Like, you know, in the JLT. Oh, sorry, in the intra club. I just noticed how hard he's working. But yeah, I so want him to make it. But he's going to have to do more.
Yeah.
But his industry as a player is fantastic.
Mm.
But yeah, he's going to need to get a bit more of it, or kick it a bit further, or just do it a bit better when he gets his chances. Anyone else?
Well, not from the JLT.
You want to talk about RCD briefly?
Oh, yeah, sorry. We mentioned him before, but yeah. Look, I liked how he cracked in. I like how he thought his way through a couple of passages of play. He didn't get that much of the ball, and yeah, he looks a bit skinny, but yeah, there was a lot to like.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he'll play round one. You know, he got 40% game time, only got 6 disposals. You never know, he might pull in a blinder next week. But yeah, you can see in brief spurts he looked impressive, and you know, we gave him centre square game time. You know, we gave him a crack out there, you know, he didn't dominate, but you know, he showed all the reasons why he got drafted.
Yeah, he didn't look overwhelmed or out of place. That's a big thing for a young guy.
Yeah, and I love those occasional things you read on the internet about club insiders raving about him record. Anyone who wants to share those kind of things on the internet creates good vibes for everyone.
Yeah. Well, speaking of good vibes, I want to talk about the other two double-barreled guys at the club. I quite liked Colin Coleman-Jones in the intra-club game.
Yeah, well, one thing about him in the intra club is you can see what position he's going to play.
Yeah,
it's clearly a ruckman and skillful, big. Yeah, I liked him too. Looked traditional.
And he's also a very accurate shot for goal. Which, if you're not going to get the ball much forward, which he isn't, that's what you need to do.
Which is very much firmly in your wheelhouse.
Firmly in my wheelhouse, indeed. But the work rate like that, he. That was him as a junior, was he had a really big work rate and got to a lot of contests. And, yeah, I liked it.
Actually, my take originally from the intra club was that he's the most likely to play of all of our backup rucks, and obviously Noah Bolter stuffed dynamite in that take and exploded it, but, you know, in the JLT match. But, yeah, I agree, he was impressive. And continue.
Well, the other double barrel, Derek Eglamose Smith. There are a number of rave reviews about his performance and halfback in a VFL practice game against Essendon.
I had sort of forgotten he was on the list because he came in.
Easy mistake. He played about three or four VFL games for absolutely zero impact.
And I thought he was partly on the list because, you know, he was an academy player. You know, sort of one of those the development in things. And, it was a really pleasant surprise to hear that. Mm. So it'd be fascinating to see if he can keep it up.
Yeah. The Sydney Stack, we've talked about a bit. Apparently, he only played a half, but had quite a solid first half in defence. And, you know, I love a complete bolter, but... no pun intended, but... we had a guy playing his first VFL game for us called Luke Nelson, who's sort of come up the hard way through suburban football, playing for Noble Park, although admittedly a very well-funded suburban club, and kicked four goals on debut and looked quite tidy. And I think he's only 21, so, yeah, worth keeping on.
So, question without notice, and this is genuine, we haven't discussed it. So, we know from the round one team that Conker, Lynch, and probably Castagna will definitely be out from last year's finals.
And Caddy, possible?
So, Conker, Caddy, and George will probably not play round one. So let's just keep it to the minimum. We'll keep Lynch out of things for the meantime. Assume he won't play, so keep it as simple as possible. Who's in front of line for you to take those positions?
Well, Butler has to come back in.
Yep. Butler for Castagna, good sense.
Yep, Butler for Castagna. It's perhaps an emotional reaction, but...
I can feel it coming.
Yeah, Noah Bolter instead of Sean Grigg.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mention Grigg. Yeah. Well, you could have also said Caddy.
Yeah, true. Brandon Ellis was about our 23rd man last year, so I think he's going to be close.
For Conker?
Hmm.
Yep, that's fair. So you still got one more position. I mean, it's not inspiring, but you put him ahead of Markov. And with Hooley and Short, I worry with Hooley and Short, you've got two hard-running guys who, you know, are not gorillas defensively. I'm not sure you can play Hooley, Short, and Markov in the same team.
Yeah, which is a shame, because I like the comrade better.
Yeah.
I'd be tempted by Jack Ross.
Jack Ross for in place in Caddy.
Yeah. Just as that sort of sixth or seventh midfielder. I don't think Graham's a lock at this point either.
No, that's the thing, is you could maybe look at Josh for Graham. And you know, you never know. No, it's not inspiring, but I don't want sold the guy, but for those of us who get excited about young players, it's not as exciting. Mav Weller is circling Josh Caddy's spot for round one.
Yeah.
If Lynch isn't fit.
Yeah, that's true.
I think if Lynch is fit, I think we'll structurally change up the team and put Lynch in for Caddy.
Yeah, I suppose it makes sense.
Anyway, we don't have to go to it now.
Another JLT game down in Launceston. Should be fun. Although, doesn't have very fond memories for Richmond supporters, as I think that's where Coughlin did his knee. But,
I like that, even though you got married in Launceston, that's the...
Well, and I'm trying to think of Richmond players from there, and I've only come up with Jesse Lonergan. Like, around Launceston, we've got Richo, Nank, and Michael Roach, which is a pretty good start. But Launceston itself,
Yeah, I think for those of us who aren't so into the Northern Tasmanian bloodlines, it's close enough.
The minute. Oh, it's good to have footy back.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
I'm Richmond Nick. Footy.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger too.